You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to show number 319. Today is Sunday, October 11, 2015, and my name is Steve. No Hammy tonight, but I am joined by Curtis. In tonight's show, we're very happy to have the great David O'Brien, the Braves beat writer for the AJC and a must-follow on Twitter at DOBrienAJC. David, thanks for joining us. How are you today?
I'm good. How about you?
Yeah, doing fine. Thanks.
All right.
So, Dave, the Braves have been emphatic about improving the bullpen. We get that. Do you believe that they're going to add an everyday outfield bat in the offseason?
Yeah, I think that's the most logical place to look to add a bat. The only way that might change, I could see, is if they went in a different direction and decided to move Oliveira to, say, left field. And, you know, they haven't ruled that out, but they also said that's not something they're talking about doing right now. So, but it wouldn't surprise me if they thought they could more easily fill in at third base and move Oliveira to left, where he just frankly didn't look very good at third base, but he hasn't played the position much, so we'll see. But, you know, it could all change because they could decide that, you know, they could feel this guy might be available at third base or second base, and, you know, they decide to go with that, and then you could, you've got all this money in Swisher and Michael Bourne, and you can't just drop them both. I mean, when they got them, I thought there was no way that Swisher would. I thought they might even DFA him at the time, and it ended up he showed a little bit of something those initial couple of weeks he was there, and Borge showed some stuff late. So, you know, I'm not saying either one of them would be a guy you'd go out and sign in the winter, because you wouldn't, but you're paying them the money next year, so you got to look at, where do they fit? You could have traded Maven and got something for him, you know, well before the deadline, but not. You know, now with 1 year left, it's going to be a little tougher, I would think, to, because he fell off really in the last 2 months of the season. So, there's just a lot of questions to ask, to answer. It's just too early to, just until I get some kind of indication on which direction they're going. It's just pure speculation at this point. I mean, you just look at the guys that come back. I mean, how do you fit a left fielder in?
Right.
Yeah. If you get one in the winter, you get a left fielder, and you keep Maben, and you got Markakis, then you come to camp with Bourne and Swisher, and then you got there's other guys too that where does Garcia play? I know he's a bat off the bench, but it's just a lot of questions right now. I think it's just a little too early, premature to say, I think they're going to get a bat for the outfield. But that's obviously a place, and maybe the most obvious place where they could get one if they do. But bat's not their they've reiterated it, and it's not the priority, even if you look at their offense and you think maybe it should be. But they're counting on some guys like Freddie Freeman being healthy, and they're counting on, Oliveira being a lot better after he has a normal offseason and normal spring training. So, and then some other young guys are planning on just improving, with a year of experience. So we'll see.
Do you think they're comfortable enough starting with Maben in center field next year?
I don't know why they wouldn't be.
Well, just because his offense dropped off.
Yeah, it did, but he still had. If you look at what's available compared to what he did, what center fielder are you going to go get for making what he makes? $9 million or whatever it is next year.
Right, and they don't think Malik Smith is ready. Do you agree?
No, he's not ready.
Yeah,
but he could be by the deadline. He could be well before the deadline, and then maybe you hope at this point that Maven gets off to a good start like he did last year, and then you could trade him to somebody. In the last year of his contract, that would be ideal, probably, if Malik Smith keeps developing and he looks ready midseason. That's something, that direction you could go. But for now, no, I think they don't have much choice of being comfortable with Maven in center. Yeah.
So, assuming some of the pitching that the Braves acquired this past year get traded for one bat, two bats, whatever in the off season. Do you think any of the rookie pitchers are off limits?
Any of the rookies. I would say Whistler, I would say, is off limits, but, you know, that's not completely off limits. I don't know anybody who's completely off limits. As we saw last year with, you would have probably said that about Peraza at this point.
Mm. Yeah, or Wood, I would have said.
Yeah, exactly. That shocked me. So, you know, I don't know that anybody is. When you get a new regime in, they're not beholden to any of the preconceived notions or the previous regimes, you know, what they valued and what they considered close to being untouchable and all that. When you get a new regime, it's all different. I mean, they do what they want to do, and those guys, they have no sentimental value. Their legacy is not dependent upon this guy or Christian Betancourt becoming a star. I mean, if they dump Christian Betancourt, it doesn't mean anything to John Hart and Coppy's legacy, you know. So things change, and I don't know that anybody's off limits, but I'd be shocked if Whistler got traded. He showed enough in his first weeks up, his first month up, and then in his last month here, I think he showed that he's a bona fide, you know, top half of the rotation type guy long term. Max Fried, we haven't even seen him yet. I would think that he's pretty untouchable just because who's going to trade for him coming off Tommy John, and then the Braves are very high on him. So, I mean, he could be the best of the bunch from what I'm told, but I haven't seen him, so I can't really say with any authority whatsoever about that. But of the other rookies, I don't know that any of the other ones would be considered anything close to untouchable. I can't see any of the other ones being that way.
So staying with starting pitching, David, what do you think about the targeting of Mike Minor as that additional veteran piece? He seems like such an injury risk to me at this point that maybe there's money better well spent elsewhere.
Well, he's not targeted as the veteran piece. I mean, as far as being, the way they look at it, he's $5 million, okay? You're not going to get a free agent for even one, a good free agent for even twice that. It's going to be three times that for an established guy on this market. So the way they look at it is, for $5 million, if he's healthy, then he's a great gamble. You'd hate to drop him. He gets picked up by somebody else, and he becomes the Mike Minor that we've seen, you know, before, for, you know, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, when it looked like he was really coming into his own as a left-hander, and you dumped him for, you know, $5 million, you know, to save $5 million. So I think that's the way they're looking at it is but they're not looking at him to be the guy in the top half. They're not relying on him to be the guy at the top of the rotation. I mean, they've got Shelby Miller and Tehran for that, and they want to see how these other guys, how their health comes in rehab during these next month before they determine whether they really need to go out and get a guy. And Minor being one of those guys, they're gonna watch him keep throwing and see where he gets. If he gets to throwing off the mound stage, you know, in another few weeks, before they shut him down for the winter, they want to see him get to the mound and throwing off the mound without any problems, and then they can feel a lot better about, you know, making him that offer and bringing him back. But then they want to see how Folti does come in and Banuelos, how they do in their throwing programs in the off season. If they look like they're all going to be ready, then it's not nearly, in their view, as urgent a need to go out and get an established veteran, because if you get one, obviously that's one less spot in the rotation for all those guys aren't all going to fit. You know, then you're going to have to get one of those guys is going to have to be in AAA when he probably should be in a major. So, but that'd be a good problem to have, obviously.
Yeah. So, all right. Do you have a sense, David, how much of last year's offseason moves were architected by Coppy versus Hart? And really what my question is, now that Coppy got that promotion to GM, do you think things change much, or is it really going to operate like it did last year?
No, I don't think things change whatsoever at all. You know, Coppy did a whole lot of the grunt work and a lot of the idea work behind the trades that happened in the last 12 months. He and John Hart worked hand in hand. John Hart had to had to approve everything, but Coppy did most of the work on, as far as putting together the big deals and that kind of thing. And none of that changes. I mean, John Hart is still the guy that has to approve everything. So, and Coppy's still the idea guy and the guy that comes up with all these creative and traits that we never would have envisioned before, you know, trading for international spots and bonus money and slots and, you know, draft picks and all that. That was all Coffey doing that stuff. So it doesn't change. It's just the title. He just dropped assistant from general manager, really. It's all you did.
And kept him in play so another team wouldn't get him.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I thought they thought there was a good chance that another team would, because there were a few openings and maybe other ones that were coming down the pike, and they thought it was a pretty good chance that if somebody offered him a GM job, it was going to be impossible for him to turn it down, you know, to stay assistant general manager here. I think he would have jumped at a good general manager opportunity. So, yeah, that was a way to keep him here.
Yeah. So I want to get back to Bethancourt. When they brought him back after being sent down to AAA, there was that game, I don't remember who it was against, I think it was at home, where he made that awful, ill-advised flip to Shelby Miller covering home plate, let in another run. At that point, I remember thinking, Bethancourt's done.
It was Washington.
Yeah, that's right. I remember thinking, Bethancourt is done with this organization. Now, you know, in your interviews, your exit interview earlier this week, the front office is certainly still talking positively about him. But do you believe he's going to be here long term?
Well, ask yourself the question: how else are they going to talk about him?
Of course.
If you have any thoughts of trading him, of course, his trade value has plummeted since 2 years ago. You could have got a lot for him 2 years ago when he was still considered a top prospect.
Right.
And now, after teams have watched him play for parts of 2 years. I've watched the Braves, you know, choose everybody over him to play, and you look at his numbers, and you look at his pass balls, you look at the mistakes he's made, and other teams scout this stuff. They've seen him, and unlike those who still out there are the fans of Bethancourt who still think he's going to be the prospect the Braves thought he was going to be, and curse the Braves for not playing him every day. People who watch him play and are scouting him see the mistakes he's made and the lapses that he has behind the plate, and I just can't imagine anybody giving up anything of value to get him right now. But we'll see. And all it takes is one GM, of course. You know, if Dayton Moore, for instance, still thought, you know, of the Bethancourt as younger years and still thought he could be that, then maybe you could do something. But I think the Braves have, whether they say it or not, have kind of moved on. They don't think he's. You know, he's going to be the player that he ever was, and they think he's an overrated prospect, that he shouldn't have been quite as high as he was. So you
think they'll spend some time looking for a catcher this offseason then?
I do. I mean, I could see, because, I mean, as much as they'd love to have A.J. be able to catch 105 games next year and hit 300, you know, with some power, like he did this year, they can't count on that at age 39, obviously. I mean, that's unreal what he did this year. So I think ideally. Still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I don't know what that was. I think ideally you get a guy who could split the duties with AJ, a guy who could catch, you know, 80 to 100 games, maybe. And it's a really particular description that you're looking for. But you want to have, you know, enough games for AJ to really to play. After you saw him this year, he's not going to want to go somewhere where he's just a traditional backup. You know, after that year he had, I think he'd probably want to play some. But he's also not going to expect to play 100 games. I mean, he doesn't have to be the primary guy. Maybe you can split it a little more equal than you would in the typical primary backup type situation, which would rule out a guy like Wieters, obviously. And Wieters is represented by Scott Boras too. People have to keep that in mind when they're thinking about, you know, will the Braves pursue Wieters? Well, he's a Boras guy, which means he's going to go to the place that gives him the biggest offer. So, I don't know. That one would surprise me. LaCroix, they love LaCroix, but they've checked on him so many times, and the asking price is so high. You know, maybe they revisit that, and, you know, with some of the pitching they have, then maybe you could do something like that. But LaCroix also is a primary guy. You know, as long as he's healthy, he's not the kind of guy that's going to sit for AJ. So it's a dynamic situation, as John Hart put it. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. I don't know which direction they're going to go. You know, some AL team could come in and offer AJ a 2-year or a 3-year deal. You know, thinking they'll catch him for the first year and then transition him to DH maybe. So they could blow away the Braves. It's because the Braves don't have that. You know, I'm not looking at them for that type of thing. They'd like to have him back next year. And maybe you get him next year with an option and get creative and you know, transition him to some type of coaching position or whatever. But that AL team could ruin that in a hurry if they come in and offer a lot of money. So, and then the Braves are looking for a primary guy for next year, I would think.
Right, right. David, do you share the 10 to 15 game improvement optimism that John Hart has based on the levers we know they're going to pull?
Well, he said 15 to 20, and he said, and it wasn't as if he threw that, as if he said we're going to improve by 15 or 20 next year. We asked him about, you know, the moves they plan to make this year, and he listed those three priorities, and he said, theoretically, he said, could that be, and how much? Now he said, now how much is that going to translate to wins on the field? I don't know, 15 to 20. You know, he threw that out there like that. It wasn't like he was saying, we think these moves will lead to us winning 15 to 20 games more. He said, well, how many games is that going to be? 15 to 20? Maybe. That's how that, you know, how that comes.
It comes
across a little different than when people think he predicted that, because that's not what he was predicting. He said, maybe that's what could happen, you know, if things go their way and go, you know, people stay healthy then. And yeah, I could see that happening. I mean, you look at some of the guys like, you know, Freddie Freeman, for instance. I mean, he played 162 games a year before every inning. This year he couldn't stay healthy. So, he missed a lot of games, 40, 50 games. You look at, you know, him having a normal year. You look at some of the guys, like, you know, you got to figure if Jace Peterson's the guy at second base or he's, Castro gets some time there, you got to think they're going to do a lot better offensively in the second year, the second full season. The pitching, if the bullpen, if you just had a good bullpen instead of the worst ERA in the majors, or I think it ended up second worst ahead of Colorado only. Okay, say that with that 4-6 or whatever the ERA is, say you had a good bullpen with a 2-something ERA and opponent's average and WHIP were so much lower. Like, there's 10 games, and that's not exaggerating.
Right, no, I agree.
Just a good bullpen is 10 games this year.
Yeah.
If they hadn't lost Grilly, they were going to trade Grilly anyway, though, so that's the problem is people forget that they were going to trade Grilly for the deadline. So, but if they don't trade Johnson and Avilon and Grilly doesn't get hurt and they just go with those three, you know, this is probably 10 games difference. But, you know, or if they had a good bullpen like they've had the year before, the previous 3, 4, 5 years, that's 10 games better, this team, at least. And that's not pie in the sky. That's just reality. They blew so many games. So I don't think it's at all aiming too high to say 15 to 20. That's, you know, it could get you, 87 wins or something, and you're in wild card contention maybe. But, I'm not predicting this to be a playoff team next year. I'm just saying I think they'll be above 500 next year. I think they'll be 500 or better. I think they'll be a lot better team next year than they are this year.
David,
if only because the front office is so they were so, I don't want to say humiliated, but they were so upset over the way this season went. It went a lot worse than they had planned when they traded these guys. They didn't think it would get as bad as it did. And they made a vow to themselves, you know, the higher-ups told the ones below them, this is not going to happen again. We're not going to let this happen again.
So
this is the worst.
So if you look at that phrase, you don't think that was lip service to the fans? They really believe that they're not going to let it be this bad?
No, because they cannot go into 2017 in a new ballpark coming off a season like this. Absolutely not.
Right.
Just for business reasons, they're not going to let this happen again. You know, they thought this would be the worst year, but they did. But it got a lot worse than they ever imagined. They really did want to stay, you know, either what you call it competitive or just call it they wanted to remain not an embarrassment. They wanted to be a team that went out there, you know, people wanted to come see and didn't get blown out and go through a stretch like they did for 2 months where they were, you know, that's probably the worst stretch they've been through since the 80s. And they never imagined it going that poorly, you know. But at the same time, they made the moves that led to that. I mean, when you trade KJ and Uribe after trading all those other guys, and then you trade all those other guys for Hector Oliveira after losing Grilly, and Freddie Freeman is hurt at the same time. I mean, to me, it was self-inflicted, you know. So I have a hard time feeling sorry for him or anything because it got that bad because they made the moves that made it that bad, you know. On top of guys being hurt, which they couldn't have counted for, sure. But that was all the reason not to trade those guys. If you wanted to remain competitive and you wanted to run a team out there each night that, you know, had at least had a chance to win.
All right, David, let's close with some rapid-fire questions. All right, so next year, Shelby, Tehran, and Miner are the first three in the rotation. Of the rookies, who do you put in the last two slots?
Oh, man.
Well, I'll give you Whistler.
Whistler's going to be one of them.
He's going to be one of them.
Whistler's going to be one of them. You know, Williams Perez showed me a lot of times, and then he had the bad month after he was hurt. But other than that month after he was hurt, he looked good. So, but I'm not going to rule out Terrell Jenkins. I mean, Terrell Jenkins is really impressed this year. So, if not on opening day, then he could be soon after be ready. So, he's another option that a lot of people aren't really talking about, but he's legit. So, but I would have to say if you're going with that bunch, then I'd probably go Whistler and Folty, because they still want Folty to be a starter. I know a lot of people think he'd be a great bullpen guy, but that's kind of their fallback, because they want to see first if they can make him a starter. If he's got enough stuff, he needs to work on the secondary pitches, obviously. But if he does, he might be a damn good starter. But if not, they know that he can be a reliever, or they're confident he can be. So, but I would say those two, Whistler and Folty.
Is the front office thinking hard about Weber, or was it just sort of a nice surprise at the end of the year?
Well, no, they needed him. They needed a body, you know, and he'd done so well that he had earned that spot. But they're certainly not ruling him out. But, no, I don't think he's a guy that's at the top of the plans, because he's not a 22-year-old, top prospect. I mean, this guy's 25, 26 years old and been in the minors quite a while. So, but he showed something.
Boy,
for sure.
all but one game, he had movement. I mean, yeah. He looked great.
Oh, I know. And he's obviously a guy they can look at as being at AAA and ready to come up at any time. It's always nice to have a few of those guys who you're not scared to death to throw. They know what he can do. So, you have an injury or two, then there he is.
Yeah. All right, true or false, Jace Peterson keeps the starting second baseman job for all of 16.
Oh, man, for the all of 16, I think at least the right-handed, at least against, at least the platoon.
So you think that there really could be a Peterson-Castro platoon coming our way?
I don't think it'll start that way, but I think they'll give Jace a chance to play probably every day, but against maybe some really tough left-handers.
Yeah.
It's just so early. I'm not going to say with any conviction at all, but I would say right now, just they like him too much just to give up on him. You know, I know his numbers really fell off, but he had a stretch, though, 50-game stretch where he hit almost 300. His OBP was high 380, 390, something like that. Had a lot of extra base hits, and then it just went completely. You know, for the next 70, 80 games, it was he looked overmatched some nights, but
for sure the start of the season he should have been in the like MVP of the team conversation.
Yeah, he had a 50-game stretch where he was really looked like he's a good. They like too much about him. You know, his athleticism, his mentality, his approach. They love that, the makeup, as they say. They love that, and he showed he can hit. I mean, for 50 games, you can't just fluke it for 50 games. So. We'll see. I think he at least gets one more chance.
Yeah.
Good half season.
All right, true or false, AJ is a Brave in 16.
I would say true.
Okay. All right, and lastly, who beats who to win the World Series?
Whew.
And boy, I was all in on the Blue Jays, David. And we're recording this Friday afternoon. I assume they lost. They were down 2 runs in the 14th.
Yeah, and I was big on the Royals.
Yeah.
They're losing as we speak in the game two. They could go down 0-2. It's 4-3, though, but right now. I'm going to go. I don't know. I don't think they're the best team, but they just find a way. I'm going to go Cardinals. I think the Cardinals are going to end up beating the Mets just because of the pitching, and the Mets' pitching is not what it was when they looked like, to me, the best team in the league for about 2 months there.
Yeah.
When all those young hard throwers were all peaking. I mean, they were all dealing. And then at the end of the season, really none of them were, you know? And then the whole thing with Matt Harvey, that really set them back, and some of the other guys. It's just, I don't know if they have any guys that can go 7-8 innings for you. So, I'm going to go Cardinals. And over in AL, I'll go Houston. I think Houston's going to surprise some people. They really play with so much swagger and confidence. It's unbelievable. Such a young team that's never been there. You just never know watching them. But I think they've got something special going, and I think they can get through this thing.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, to be clear, I didn't think it before the postseason started, but after that play-in game and now this Royals series, I think they've got something going too.
Yeah, so I'll take Cardinals over Astros in the final, in the World Series. Final, whatever.
All right, folks, please read David throughout the offseason at the AJC and on Twitter. David, it's always a pleasure. We appreciate it. Have a great winter, and we'll speak to you soon.
Yep, and I bet if we talk in 1 month, half the stuff I said, I'll have changed my mind. It's just that, you know, this early, before they even have their organizational meetings, you just don't get any kind of a good indication on which way they're leaning, and that all changes when you start to hear things, like here, you know, at the winter meetings and all that, and, you know, we'll have a lot better grasp of it. So some of the things I said, I'll probably be going, I can't believe I said that. But we'll see. For right now, that's where I stand.
All right, David, thanks again. We appreciate it.
Okay, man. See you.
See ya. So, Kurt, what stuck out for you? What did you take away from that interview with DOB?
A few things, really. Interesting to think about the Swisher-born situation on our team, that might impact their ability to get a left fielder, because there's just so many bodies and they're potentially not going to pay both Swisher and Bourne to go away.
But don't you put him on the bench? I don't know. I didn't take it that way.
Do you want to eat that many bench spots with both of those guys? I mean, aren't there guys more compelling long term?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know. You could see, you get Swisher because he can play the outfield and he can play first.
Sure.
You've got Bourne for late inning defense. You know, Adonis Garcia is on the bench.
Todd Cunningham got picked up.
Right. Todd Cunningham won't be on the bench.
Yeah, he is gone.
Yep. They were trying to clear a spot on the 40-man, and they didn't get away with it. Yeah, I thought it was interesting also, and I guess I just didn't let myself think about it as hard, is that Maben's the starting center fielder next year. Even, you know, despite the big drop-off. Like, you know, no one, they're not going to get anything for Maben after his offensive drop-off. And his money's not bad, and you hope that he catches lightning in a bottle again. But, I mean, he's the starting center fielder.
Yeah, and that Betancourt is not going to be the catcher.
Well, not a big surprise, but certainly good to hear him say it, because how can he be?
And I'm shocked that he thinks that AJ will be back. I can't imagine that AJ is not going to get offered a two-year deal from some American League team.
I agree. I mean, really, it will have to be that AJ doesn't get offered that two-year deal. I absolutely believe that AJ really likes the team and enjoyed the new, you know, role that he played as sort of the father figure and all that stuff. I think he really enjoyed it. But if the money comes calling, he's going to be gone.
Well, I mean, like I said, it's David Ross. I think David Ross enjoyed his time here as well, but he got blown away by that offer from the Red Sox and would have been dumb not to turn it down. And in fact, he's obviously still in the league. He's playing in the playoffs. So I'm trying to think of what he thinks that Folty really is.
He thinks he's number five,
which is crazy.
Well, crazy or not, after he said it, it kind of made sense to me. If they really believe that, or if they are spending time and energy and money to make him a starter, it doesn't make a lot of sense to have him in AAA. You know, he's not, I mean, I think you put him in the bigs and he takes his lumps and continues to grow there. He's not going to grow as much in Equinette.
Sure.
Maybe his leash isn't that long, you know?
Yeah, maybe so. And I mean, especially with guys like Perez and Fried.
Yeah.
Guys that are floating around that they obviously have expectations for or that we haven't even seen. It's almost that the Braves are kind of in this weird spot, because I know that he talked about that they don't want to be as bad as they were this year. That
right.
Collectively,
he really believes the front office is not going to go through it again.
But in the same sense, he also was talking about basically that there's no open spots other than catcher. and that Wieters is a Boris agent, and that Lucroy, they want way too much in a trade for him. I don't really know who else in the free agent catcher class there is. Maybe they can trade for a high end catching prospect, but yeah, I mean, it's once again, and we talk about this all the time with the Braves, it's a lot of ifs, and the Braves need a lot of things. It seems like their margin for error is much smaller than other teams, because you have to have, I mean, Maven has to play above his career norm, you know.
Yeah.
Jace Peterson has to play at his peak of what we saw. All these types of things have to come into play.
Oliveira has to be the player we thought.
Right. The bullpen has to come back into shape, and the pieces have to work, and all this kind of stuff for them to be able to reach the levels that they expect that they want to reach next year. So it's a lot of fingers crossed.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's true. Kurt, your dog making an appearance for the first time on the podcast.
She is. Lucy, nice. Lucy is a big Jace Peterson fan, and she heard us kind of downplaying him, and she got fired up there.
She was all, do you not remember the first half? Why do you keep harping on the second half?
Yeah, normally the kids are asleep, but it's fall break, so they've decided that now is the perfect time to be playing catch with the dog in the kitchen.
Sure. Well, where else would you play catch with
sure.
the dog?
Yeah.
The only other thing that I thought was interesting was, you know, it's not necessarily just they pick up a left fielder. If they find a bat at third base, they move Oliveira. I mean,
right.
I think that's really likely. Or if they find a bat at third base, they move Oliveira to second, and you know, or they move Oliveira to left, you know, or
right.
or something like that. So it is true. I think it's going to be kind of crazy this offseason, and Copy, we know, gets very creative. You know, I mean, we saw it to some degree in the Dan Uggla signing. Not a great signing, obviously, but the whole look, we're not finding our home run hitter in the outfield. We're going to find him in the infield at second base. I mean, I think that some unexpected things will happen between now and spring training.
Sure.
All right. So, Kurt, why don't we touch quickly on the playoffs? Been a crazy week. I think the craziest so far being that the Rangers took the first two in Toronto. I think that as we sat down to record this, it's Sunday night, the Blue Jays were up 1-0 in Texas, but it seems unlikely that the Blue Jays are going to win 3 straight. I mean, they were my World Series pick. Not that, like, you know, that's that important, but it's kind of, I mean, given all their offense and the juggernaut they had been, very surprising to see them floundering like this.
Well, and they say after game one, they showed Price's postseason numbers, and they are bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
and very exciting for Houston.
Yeah, that is good.
Absolutely. No, that's great. And, you know, the Mets, God, I don't know if you saw any of the DeGrom game, but he was just, like, I stayed up till whatever, 1:15 that Friday night. He just was untouchable. And the Chase Utley slide is just awful. I'm sorry.
It's indefensible.
It's indefensible. And the fact that he's also safe. Because
right.
he broke the guy's leg and the guy couldn't get up to tag him. I mean, it's really bizarre. And rules will change. I absolutely agree with that analysis. It's something will change because of this.
Yeah, the fact that you're starting your slide past second base.
Yeah, it's against the rule. I don't understand how it's not just a cut and dry thing. Or maybe it's just one of those gentlemanly rules of baseball that you start your slide before the bag.
Yeah. I guess the rule is you're as long as you're in, you know, the area, you really, I think you have to be able to touch the bag. I mean, you can get as
so you can
far
stretch
outside.
An arm.
Yeah. You can get as far outside as you want, but the rule really is that you have to be able to touch the bag. And I mean, they kind of give you some leeway in that too, but it was dirty.
Yeah, I agree. And good for the Cubs tying it up in St. Louis. I mean, you know, not a great showing in game one. And then to go out and, you know, safety squeeze them to death and hit a home run. And I mean, it was an impressive game in St. Louis. I hope the Cubs can keep doing it. Because, God, just get St. Louis out of the bracket, you know?
As quickly as possible.
All right. Well, Curtis, that is the end of our regular season. We want to thank everyone who helps make this possible every year. Our web guy and producer, Mike. Our blogger, Sean. Our graphic designer, Mike. A different Mike. Our wives for putting up with us through our eighth year here.
Our occasional co-host, Hamilton.
That's right, Hammy, who likes to show up once in a while. And and everybody that listens. I mean, really, we can't thank you enough. It just makes this, you know, special that there are people that actually are listening to us. So, Curtis, thanks for another great year, man.
Absolutely. It was fun. Yeah. And I mean, especially this year, the people that hung in there and the fact that we were able to hang in there, but that people would still tune in week after week listening to us talk about this team is dedication, and we really appreciate it.
Absolutely. So again, tonight marks the end of our weekly shows for the off season, but we will be back throughout the off season as big developments occur. I know there's going to be a few. And that is the show. Everyone, please make sure you have us in your RSS feeds or subscriptions on iTunes or Stitcher so that you don't miss any of our weekly shows. And as always, check us out at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com for past shows, to check out our blogs, and to post in our comment section. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and to like us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, everyone, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com.